Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 186. I am Derek, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, and I know Prime Day is gone, but you probably still have some stuff you didn't buy. You know, pick those things up and use that link. It kicks a little bit of cash our way to help put the podcast on and do other site things. With us today, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? It is Tuesday. I'm fairly awake for once.
Good.
And yeah, we got...
Recovering from the onslaught of review items?
Yeah, we have a lot of review stuff. Cool. You know, a lot of reviews this week, a lot of video stuff. I've been just cranking out content. That's just what I do. Cranking out.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right into that. We have four reviews this week. And the first one is a case that I've loved since I saw the original one. It is the Inwin A1 Plus, which is a mini ITX case. And it is just, I mean, you've seen it at CES. This case is small and it's sexy. And it's like, when you see it, you're like, if I'm going to do an ITX build, this is a case that I want to do it in. Because it just flows together. It's an awesome.
It's kind of everything a small form factor case wants to be.
Yeah,
when you look at it.
Yeah, you have tempered glass panels. It sits on this little acrylic stand, which has RGB lighting built into it, which is pretty cool too. You get two RGB fans with it. As I said, the tempered glass side panel. Supports decently long graphics cards as well, so you can build a pretty, even the system I built inside of it is pretty beefy system. I did a Ryzen build inside a Ryzen 5 2600X with a 1660 Ti and some pretty awesome memory in there too, and it turned out pretty well. But I think when it comes to mini ITX, you are going to have some concessions. Doesn't matter what case you use, it's going to be small, it's going to be tight, and that's something you have to think about with this case. The biggest thing is, if you miss connecting something, which I did, you basically have to start over. You basically have to pull your board out and reconnect everything. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, like most people, I installed my CPU cooler outside of the case because it would be practically impossible to do inside of the case just because there's not a lot of room.
Yeah. Does it have a cutout?
On the back, yes, it does.
So in theory, you could.
You could, but I just don't think there'd be enough room to connect everything. Like, there's
right.
So I installed my CPU cooler, then I put my motherboard in, lined it up, and then I went to screw it in, and the top left screw, you can't really access it. There is a cutout in the case to put a screwdriver down in there, and I have a very long screwdriver, one of the ones that came with a Noctua cooler. I'm sure you know about those, or if you don't, you can go to, I believe it's page 3 or page 4 of the review, and see that long ass screwdriver I have. And I even put that down in there, and it just doesn't reach. And that's an issue because you want to secure your motherboard in the case. I guess you could argue that I could have installed my CPU cooler after, and I could use a smaller screwdriver. But they have that cutout in the case for a reason. It's made to put a screwdriver down through it. And the fact that the longest screwdriver I have, which is longer than any typical screwdriver, doesn't fit. Like, it doesn't reach the board. That's an issue to me. I think Inwin, if you have that there, you know people are going to use it, you should definitely include a screwdriver, I think, in my opinion. It just doesn't make any sense that, just like that long-ass screwdriver I have is from a Noctua cooler, and they know most people aren't going to have a long screwdriver like that. So they include it to, you know, install their CPU cooler. I think the same thing here. Inwin should have included that. And then the other issue that I think can be an issue going forward is that they do include a 650 watt power supply. But there's, as far as connections go, there's only 3 SATA power connections. There's no Molex, there's nothing else. Which if you install 2 SATA drives, which this case supports 2 SSDs, you're left with 1 SATA connector left for power. And if you use their RGB controller, that means everything's completely full. So you can't plug anything else in power wise. That would include, like, if you wanted to do an AIO, that's going to require SATA power more than likely. If you wanted to add two more fans, if they're not daisy chainable, and I don't know how many watts one 4-pin gives off from the motherboard, but you're already connecting two fans to one of those, adding two more, so it's just really limited. It's a 650 watt power supply, so you should have more connectors than that. The power supply isn't modular, so maybe I can see why they didn't.
Well, they probably wanted to keep cut down on the cabling.
Yeah, they wanted to cut down the cabling, but I just really think it's limited. Like, if you did a build like ours, you're fine. But if I wanted to add something, if I wanted to add anything that needs power that can't be daisy chained through something else, I'm kind of screwed in that regard. So again, some things you have to think about. I do think, in my opinion, it's one of the best looking Mini ITX cases out there, and the airflow is not bad, but you don't get any fans on the bottom, and that's where you really need that airflow. So I think that if you really were doing a serious build, even if you're gaming, like, you're gonna need those two fans. So that's something that you want to think about. But again, it's a great looking case. I didn't mention it does have the Qi charger on top, so you can easily charge your mobile device. And the Qi charger does work if you don't have the system powered on, which is nice too.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, so like,
Always on power for that.
yeah, which I guess has to do with it, however they connected it to the power supply. But yeah, I'm kind of torn. Like I said, it's a good case, but you have concessions in certain places.
The power supply is a problem.
Yeah,
That's pretty problematic.
and we've seen InWin show off this case with like custom water cooling, and like the pumps and things
Run
like
the
that,
pump
and
and
like
yeah, the lighting.
and lighting and stuff's going to take more than one more power connector.
The depending on the power supply design, if it's single rail, you can easily split those SATA connectors off, into two, three, four with a splitter, because it will support power through that. If it's not single rail, which the cheaper designs aren't, I mean, potentially it's really not going to support much more than what you can connect to one.
Yeah, so I mean,
It
like,
all depends.
yeah, that's the thing. I'm not sure if it they list on their website if it's
Sometimes they don't with things like this.
yeah, if it, I know they have some stuff. It's an 80 plus gold power supply. I know that.
Yeah, that's nice. What's the price on this altogether,
It's
if you don't?
199. Yeah.
200 bucks for, it's not a lot of case, but it is a lot of
It
stuff,
is a
though.
lot of stuff. I think that the price isn't bad for me because a decent mini ITX case is around 70 to 80 bucks. You're getting a power supply, so that's another 50 to 60, so it's around there. You are getting two RGB fans too, and the RGB controller. So I think the price is fine for me. And it is a higher quality case. Like, it's not some.
Well, yeah, it's in win.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really nice case, and everything like that. Let me
One
see.
more fan would have been pretty sweet, I think. Make it a three fan.
If they would have had a fan in the bottom, which would give you at least that intake, because there's no intake on this. Both of those fans exhaust air out, so there's no true
So they're
intake.
just drawing air in from the
Yeah,
bottom.
so you would want. I would prefer two fans on the bottom to bring air in. But yeah, one more fan would have been good.
One more to just round out the trio, like box fan sets are, So.
But yeah, it's like I said, there are some concessions. I'm looking on, it doesn't say.
Yeah, a lot of times the included parts like that, they don't go too deep into the
Yeah,
details on them.
they don't say if it is. So that's something that we can obviously ask InWin about. But like I said, I like this case. Like, I really do. It was a pain in the ass to build in, but for most people, you're building it at once. I mean, you're not,
And this form factor, it just is going to be.
Yeah.
It's the real question is usually how well can you hide cabling? This looks like it's decent.
It's decent.
Not
It's
the best,
not the
but
best. It's decent. But this is one of the smallest mini ITX cases too. It's made to be small. They include the power supply so they can install it. Like, it's pre-installed. Everything is ready to go.
So form factor is just as well established.
Yeah.
Like exactly where and what power supply, so they know it's going to work for you.
Yeah, so, and again, you even have to remove the rear fan, at least I did, to get the motherboard in, too. So, like I said, it's just
It's
like
little.
it's a give and take, and I think any ITX build is. But if you want something that's going to look sexy in your desk, because this is, if you do get the two, if you make the investment and get two more fans, it's the airflow is going to be pretty good. Something this small is not going to have the best airflow in general. It's just not. But I
But
think.
two fa dude, if you put two intake fans, you could throw like a 2080 Ti in that. Lengthwise, I think it would fit, right?
Depends. If it's
It's pretty long.
320, most full size graphics cards are 330. So,
Really close.
yeah. But I believe Zotac makes at least a 2080 smaller.
Smaller version.
Yeah.
But you get the two fans blasting straight into the GPU. That's plenty of air for it. This thing is, and then you throw in the latest, Ryzen 3700X. You've got like quite the design machine, and you like the aesthetics of it are like fantastic.
And the
So.
thing is too is like you could put a 120 AIO in here. It can work.
Yeah.
So
Well, yeah, especially if you don't have a, this air cooler, CPU cooler standing, taking up that space like the one you did.
yeah. So like I said, I like it. There are just some things you have to think about when it comes to this case. But like I said, I had a pain in the ass building in it, but then I like after my build was done, I had it turned on and I looked at it. I was like, damn, this thing's sexy.
Worth it.
Yeah, so that's just it. But definitely check out my review. It's a good looking case for sure. So that brings us on to some gaming stuff, and we have three gaming products that we took a look at. The first one is the Razer Black Widow, the 2019 edition of kind of like, I guess you would call it Razer's iconic keyboard. I mean, this keyboard's over 10 years, or the original is over 10 years old. And didn't you have it, or you did have it, or
Oh, yeah, I have like the original Black Widow sitting in front of me. Yeah,
yeah,
just standard blue LEDs, and this thing's just been
solid.
working like a charm. Yeah.
So Razer has had a bunch of different iterations of this keyboard, but for 2019, they're kind of keeping a more like, I guess, not what do you want to call it cheap, because the keyboard itself is not cheap, but it's just less expensive, trying to get it in the hands of more people. So what they've done is they've kind of kept some of the main features, but kind of dropped some of the other stuff. So, you have those Razer green switches, which are one of my favorites ever. You have full RGB backlighting. And you do have a metal plate, but it's in the keyboard. So the casing itself is plastic, and it doesn't
It
look.
looks cheap, actually, from the images.
The keyboard itself is heavy, so it's a quality keyboard. There's no flex, but the casing is plastic.
No, the casing is plastic on mine, but it just looks like it's of a much higher quality.
Yeah, so
The
the
finish just looks much nicer.
yeah, so they've really kind of did away with that, I guess, to save money, because this is a full size keyboard, mechanical RGB backlit for $119. That's Razer.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah. So that's not bad for a Razer product, a full-size keyboard. But again, it kind of looks a little cheap. Even sitting on my desk, I had it. I was like, this thing just looks cheap. But as
Yeah.
far as usage, like I use this playing a bunch of games and writing reviews, and it feels good. It feels really, really
Feels
good. Yeah, it
solid.
feels solid. The Razer green switch, again, I'm like, it's one of my favorites. It just feels great.
Same,
It's a
yeah.
clicky switch.
So like a blue, is it like a blue?
Yeah, it's like a blue, but it's a little different, and I
Okay.
really, really like it. And of course, with this, it's backed up by Razer software, which is some of the best. So you can fully reprogram the entire keyboard. They have this thing called HyperShift, which allows you to hold down a key, and then every key is something else. So you basically get two sets of keys on this, which is really, really nice. You can obviously, unlike some other software that we've seen too, like you can have keys, open programs, do a Windows command, multimedia control, pretty much everything you want. Obviously macros. And what's nice about the Razer software is that the whole macro section is like its own thing. So if you happen to get a Razer mouse, you can have a macro that you had on your keyboard work on your mouse too, and vice versa.
Nice.
And this is, of course, It's RGB backlit, so it works with Razer's Chroma, which if you say you open a game up, if the game is supported, the actions that are happening in the game will happen on the keyboard, which is pretty cool. It's not something that's necessarily going to help you in game, but it's something that's cool, and it's something that most people can't say their keyboard does. So that's pretty cool too. But I think overall, like, they just made a keyboard that's cheap, but it's still solid in my opinion. It's still a solid keyboard. $119. You're not going to find many full-size keyboards that are mechanical RGB backlit at that price with the quality that this has, minus the casing. There's no knob for volume. There's no USB pass-through, or any of those extra features. But I think with the software that's backing it up, the HyperShift, the quality of the Razer Switch and the comfort of, typing and feeling, it's a good deal at $120 in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, they have other ones that have those other things. They have other ones that have macro, dedicated macro buttons and things like that. But this is
You
just,
can definitely pay more.
yeah, oh yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's just a way. I think it's a way for more people to afford a full size Razer keyboard. And I like that. I like that from Razer. So yeah, definitely check that one out. And then I also took a look at a mouse pad, and I have to say, I'm actually incredibly impressed by this mouse pad. It's the Cooler Master MP860, which is a dual-sided RGB mouse pad. And the coolest thing about it is that it's dual-sided. I don't the RGB is just a plus to me. I had been using that a Corsair MM1000, which is a hard surface mouse pad, and I switched to this, and it was like night and day, honestly. It's so much more comfortable. It's a solid mouse pad because of the fact that they have the RGB built into it. They kind of had to make it thicker and like a bigger mouse pad, so it just feels so much like if you use a soft mouse pad, it's kind of like just feels crappy, I think, because it's not like a solid piece. It's a piece of cloth, you know what I mean? So on this, you get two sides. You get a control side and you get a speed side. One is the cloth, and then one is a piece of aluminum. So depending on the type of game you want to play, or how your play style is, you can pick which side. I use the cloth side mostly, but I did use the aluminum side too. They both work great. They both feel great. But it is like night and day from the other mouse pad that I was using. It just feels really good.
Did you make you faster? Did you win more games?
I have been doing pretty good. I have been doing pretty good at Apex. But no, it just feels better. It's more the biggest thing for me, it's more comfortable. We're on our computers for a long periods of time, especially if you're gaming, and using something that's more comfortable to use, I think, is the biggest thing with this. And one thing that happens to me a lot, I switch out keyboards, I switch out mice. If you're just not feeling it, we've had those times where you're not hitting anything in the game, you're just like having a bad day. Just flip the mouse pad over and use the other side. I mean, like, it just,
Mentally,
yeah.
just give yourself that little no, this will do it for me.
It just you, those
Little
things,
boost.
yeah, those little things are great. And like I said, we're always getting bored of our whatever it may be. Like, I change my setup all the time. Like I said, I change out mice and keyboards. This, you can just flip it over. I really like that too. It does have the RGB lighting. It works with our software. You can do a bunch of effects and things like that. There's no effects that go with games or anything like that, like the Razer software, but it does work, and it's pretty bright as well. Now this keyboard it's $44, which is a little expensive for a keyboard, I would say. But you are getting two side, like you are basically getting two keyboards plus the RGB. It's a little expensive for a keyboard, and I don't, or for a key, or for a mouse pad. What am I saying? It's a little expensive for a mouse pad. But I think you are getting like probably one of the best like mouse pads out there. I mean, you just are.
So my biggest thing looking at it is that it's tall. That doesn't bother you?
No, it
Like,
doesn't.
I feel like that is would be bothersome on my wrist.
It's not to me. This actually feels so much more comfortable than my other one. Now, the Corsair one was a little tall as well, but not as thick or tall as this one. So yeah, I think it's I wish, like I said, if people could try this and then see if they actually want it. Again, you can, if you do order this on Amazon and you have Prime, you can return it if you don't like it. But I think that if you are serious about like being comfortable, and I mean, this is like one of those other things that you can get to really help that. Like, again, I'm not really impressed by a lot of products, but this is a product that I was actually impressed by, and it's a mouse pad of all things. So
Nice.
yeah, so check out that review as well. Just a cool mouse pad, and like I said, I like that I can just flip it over and instantly become better at gaming. So
Good for you.
yeah, and then finally, Ryan took a look at the MXL Tempo or MX yeah MXL Tempo USB microphone, and we'll throw it over to him for him to tell us just a little bit about it.
So I recently took a look at the MXL Tempo microphone. It's a USB condenser microphone with a single polar pattern, and that is the cardioid polar pattern. And that's going to be pretty much what everybody needs to use 99% of the time. It has great audio pickup from the front and reduced pickup from behind. So depending on where you place it, it's going to pick up your voice great, but things to the sides and behind aren't going to be picked up. So like if you have it, in front of your keyboard and mouse, it's not going to pick up that as much as it is your voice in front of it. This is a pretty basic standard microphone. It's got a nice metal body to it. I was a little worried at first because in the packaging it looked like it could actually be a plastic microphone because it has a pretty glossy paint job to it, but it's actually a really hefty, sturdy microphone. I was really impressed by the just kind of the build quality of this. Like I said, it has a glossy paint job. The sample we received is a white body with red accents. Not necessarily my personal preference or style choice, but I mean it's good quality, and they have other color schemes as well, so that's something to keep in mind. The metal mesh that's kind of covers the microphone and condenser itself is sturdy as well. There was no flexing to it or anything, so nice and protective for it, and behind that is actually a red pop filter kind of foam there to keep those plosives reduced as much as possible. Like I said, it's got USB connectivity, so it's touted as being USB 1 and 2 compatible, but I tested it and I'm using it right now connected to a USB 3.0 port, and it functions just fine. So it also has an inline audio jack, a 3/8 inch connection there, so you can kind of play back audio and listen to it through the microphone itself. Let's see here. On the back of it, there's also a kind of an LED light when it's plugged in, so you know that it's on and capable of recording. The microphone also comes with a little tripod that's kind of similar to like a real cheap or inexpensive, I should say, camera tripod. It's nothing spectacular. It does the job all right. It when it's fully expanded, it keeps the microphone about 3 inches up from the bottom or from your table, so it doesn't get it really high off of the ground, but it functions how you would expect. The one thing I didn't like about the stand and the way it connects to the microphone is that the threads on the tripod and the stand that can attach to the microphone didn't seem to match up quite right. So you could actually push the threaded piece of the stand right into the adapter for the microphone, and it just kind of went on there. So it didn't really ever tighten, and it actually ended up with like resulting in a wobbly microphone. If you're leaving the microphone where it is and not shaking the desk or moving things around, it's really not that big of a deal. But it kind of takes away from the sturdiness and solidity of the microphone. So that was kind of a negative thing that I saw there. Really, though, I used the microphone in a couple methods. I'm recording right now. Things seemed fine in my testing and test recordings. Used it in Discord, used a little bit in OBS as well on a stream. And it seemed to function just fine. It's a pretty standard microphone, so there's really nothing flashy about it. There's no onboard gain or muting, unfortunately. So while some of those flashier features and functions that you'll see on some microphones aren't there, it's really just a standard, basic, decent quality microphone. And thankfully, the price kind of matches that. It is a little more expensive than I would have liked to see. Right now it's available for $69.99, so essentially $70. But it does the jobs well. It's really sturdy. It's seems to be pretty robust and could take a, I don't want to say take a beating, but it's not something you would necessarily be worried about breaking. Not that you should be worried about breaking a microphone, but it does the job well. You know, it has that solid build quality, quick and easy setup. I mean, you plug it in, Windows 10 recognized it right away as a USB microphone. So that was super simple. It includes the mic stand, adapter and tripod, and you can use the adapter on like a microphone arm. So that is a plus as well. But the loose mounting threads kind of made it a little wobbly, but like I said, if you're keeping it still, it's not going to be that big of a deal. So, definitely worth checking out if you need kind of like a basic microphone. So that's that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ryan, for that. And we'll get to some of our other stuff. So I did want to let you guys know that we put out videos for the ASRock X570 Tai Chi motherboard as well as the MSI Meg X570 Ace. We had previously written those reviews, but now we have our video content out. So if you guys want to check those out, we have both of those. And I go over everything, of course, in those videos. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have an interesting build, and I don't think we've seen some like test bench builds, but this is a test bench that obviously is not meant to be a test bench. Like, this is a showpiece. Mm-hmm. It's called Hydra Bench Carnage, and it's themed after Carnage from Spider-Man, or is it his own thing?
It's the universe, yeah.
Okay, he's in this
the Spider-Verse, I suppose.
Yeah, and this is done by War Boy Modding, and it's done on the Hydra bench, which is actually a really great test bench. But obviously, again, this is set up to not be a test bench. This is set up just to look pretty cool. It's different. It obviously has that. What is that stuff? Because it's not like webbing. What is Carnage's stuff?
Well, it's part of his body.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Like, it just like extends from him. Yeah, it's a lot of like 3D printed stuff, it looks like, and then some rubber, like really, really artsy use of rubber. It's pretty good for what it is, actually.
Yeah, I like it.
Like, his tongue coming is there, like the really long tongue, and then like the GPU block has just like the rubber bits all over it in the Carnage like color. Or what, I don't know how you would describe it. It's like veins almost. People that are fans of Carnage would definitely recognize it instantly.
Yeah, I think it's different because, like, again,
it's cool.
It's whatever that stuff is, like the webbing, it goes all over the GPU, and it's a fully this is a Carnage build. You know what I mean? You know, you can definitely tell.
It's a theme build, really, is what it is, and it's probably one of the first theme builds we've seen on a test bench. Maybe not. I've definitely seen some. It might be the first one we featured, you think?
Yeah, I haven't seen that many that are like this. Because most people don't use test benches because it's hard to really build something on a test bench that goes with your theme, I guess.
Well, it's hard to like hide everything to keep your artistic flow, I think.
Yeah.
More than anything. Like, when you're doing a theme build, the box, you know, like the box of a computer case is just a really good stage, and the test bench is just super exposed, so it's much more difficult, I think. And maybe it doesn't lend itself as well because there aren't as many things you can mod to it, because there's fewer panels and stuff to use. So, but it's a pretty cool build, and it's fully water cooled. The Hydra name and the Hydra part in the name is definitely there.
Yeah.
It's hard to see exactly what the parts are because everything's covered in Carnage bits, but it's cool.
Yeah, like I said, I really like it. It's different, and I really like trying to point out some of these different builds because we see like different styles and different things. So I think this one's completely different. So definitely check it out. Really cool build from War Boy Modding, and that brings us to news. And there's not a whole lot going on this week, but we have some launches and some interesting stories. First today. NVIDIA officially launched their GeForce RTX 2080, 2080 Super.
2080 Super.
Yeah. Yep. Which basically takes the place of the previous non-Super. It's based on the same 12-nanometer TU104 silicon, but they've maxed out the silicon, so they've enabled all 3072 CUDA cores. Also, the memory has been updated to 15.5 gigabit GDDR6, and the GPU boost on the card has been up to 1815 megahertz compared to the 1710 of the original. So you should see performance increase. And of course, closing that gap between the 2080, I guess, and the Titan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For $700 too, which is obviously a plus for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a price was it, the 2080 was 800, I believe. Am I right about that?
I forget. I honestly do forget.
Let me double check that.
But the 2080 was selling for $699 as it was. So this takes the place of that.
Well, maybe it was 700. I thought it was 800.
Yeah. It might have initially been 800 when they launched it, or the Founders Edition was 800.
Yeah, the Founders, which is the weirdest. Yeah. The weirdest pricing thing that Nvidia has done is those Founders Editions.
They're $100
and them
more.
Actually being, yeah, they're them actually being more, which makes no sense.
Yeah, that's just
but,
Nvidia.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a ton of reviews out there. As we always say with this stuff, read the reviews.
Oh, yep, that was right on. Yeah. $799 for the Founders Edition and $700 for other versions.
Yeah, so you're getting more at the same price, which is good. And obviously,
yeah,
even though AMD isn't competing at this higher price range, some competition there kind of, and I think a lot of people not really buying into the RTX stuff kind of brought this to happen, because you don't see a refresh, yeah, that's the same price from Nvidia typically.
No, you don't see, and it'd be hard for them to just do price drops too. Like, there's no reason to explain to like shareholders necessarily why you would just do price drops. So this lets them kind of do some price drops and, you know, throw some other parts out there. They are sort of repetitive though.
Yeah.
As far as performance go, as you said, I believe it's only an 11% increase.
Yeah.
But it is for the same price.
Yeah, the same price. You're getting faster memory. And the thing is, what's nice about this too is that from today, the launch day, there are custom cards available, so there is no waiting period either.
Oh, nice.
So if you wanted to pick up your Strix or your Aorus card, you can go ahead and pick them up, which I would highly recommend over the reference card, just because much better cooling and everything like that. So
yeah.
So yeah. So that was kind of the big graphics card news, but the second piece of graphics card news was announced, I believe, last week, and that ASRock, just before everybody, announced that yes, we will have custom Radeon RX 5700 series cards. They'll be launching with this new Challenger series, which looks to be very I keep on using cheap, low cost, I guess is the word.
Cost effective.
We did see their Tai Chi and I forget the other, their Phantom Gaming lines that were supposed to be prototypes at Computex. This looks like lower than both of those. Mm-hmm. But this does look like we will have custom cards coming. We've seen the leak from MSI as well. But I mean, good on ASRock. I think they're really taking the lead on like putting out some decent aftermarket graphics cards, even though they are AMD. I really want that Tai Chi. I want a Tai Chi graphics card. That's like,
sure, yeah, that's a good idea.
So hopefully we see that, but it looks like they're going to start with this Challenger series, again, which looks to be very low cost.
I'd say the best thing with this is that you're going to get better cooling performance most likely,
yeah,
over the stock, because that's it. I gotta say even the Notch probably looks better than these. So
yeah, you're gonna get better cooling performance. I can't say they look better than the reference card, but they're gonna cool better. I mean, this is a dual fan cooling solution with, you can see the heat pipes in there. So again, hopefully as you get into higher grade cards, their Phantom Gaming line and their hopefully we see a Tai Chi line. Hopefully we see better designs, and then we see custom boards. We see better VRM solutions. We see all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully that happens, but it's a start. And like ASRock was the first one. I don't know if they like broke an NDA or whatever, because this was not supposed to be like announced. And,
yeah, because nobody else is announcing.
Yeah, nobody else has announced anything, so they just went out and did it. I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, so they will have a 5700 XT and a 5700. So if you're looking for an aftermarket card, they are coming. I don't know if they list the date. There's no list on dates. I don't believe these are available yet. But yeah. So it's like I said, it's good. That's because it. I yeah. couldn't recommend, if you were looking to get a 5700 XT, I could not recommend the stock solution. Even though we didn't review it, all the reviews I read said the stock solution sucks for cooling. Yeah. And people have already put out guides on how to hack the stock solution so it cools better. So yeah.
So it's about time we see some aftermarket parts.
Yeah. And then one really interesting story, especially if you're building a new system or looking to pick up memory, is that DRAM prices have gone up by 20% in the past week. And that has a lot to do with there was a power outage in the Toshiba? Yeah, in Toshiba, in the Toshiba DRAM facility. And then there's like kind of like a trade war going on between South Korea and In Japan.
Well, is it a trade war or a crackdown? Japan's having a manufacturing crackdown.
Yeah.
And then a trade war between. So there's a lot going on in the South Pacific now.
There's a lot going on with things to do around like DRAM production and different things. Yeah. We had the big scandal. Was it last year?
Well, yeah. That this is right on. This kind of follows right up after China crackdown, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On the entire industry for price fixing. So are they just manufacturing these reasons to bring to drive the prices back up is the thing that I am questioning.
That's what I thought. So the DRAM companies, Samsung, SK Hynix, even Toshiba, they've all kind of worked together to keep DRAM pricing up.
Well, they drove it way up. I'm sure you all remember, like way, way up.
And if the thing to think about is pretty much everything that we use technology wise uses DRAM, like literally everything. Like the keyboard I have has a DRAM on it for storage, like to store my
memory.
Yeah.
Presets.
Yeah. Like you're obviously all the cell phones, which is probably the most used electronic in the world.
Yeah, remember we had an article about that actually, that cell phones were eating up DRAM.
Yeah.
And causing the price to go up.
So. And all of our laptops. And of course, if you're building a PC, like your DDR4 uses DRAM. So the amount of DRAM being produced probably still isn't enough to have it like extra, I guess you would say.
To have a surplus?
Yeah, to have a surplus. But surplus means lower pricing. So I think again, you might be right in saying that this is
there's something going on.
Yeah, there's something shady going on, because like they have been they've been fine.
Prices have been good.
They have been fine multiple times, like all the companies like for
billions, right?
Yeah.
Billions of dollars of fines for that. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is something to look at. I think that if you're looking to buy DRAM, either get it now or just wait a while because this is
I don't think it's gone up yet, has it? No. Like Vengeance kits are still $73.
Yeah.
Vengeance Pro RGB kits are $95 still. So yeah, you can still get it cheap right now. But if you're the guy that's planning his build slowly and carefully for the future, maybe hop on your RAM right now and your NVMe and your solid state drives as well.
And the thing is that DRAM Exchange, they kind of report the trading prices of RAM. The price closed on this past Friday, 7/19, at $3.74 for an 8 gigabit DDR4 RAM chip. That was up 14.6% week over week and 23% from July 5th. And if these problems...
So that's nearly a doubling in the second week, too.
Yeah, if these problems escalate, one of an industry observer said that the prices could skyrocket. So we could be back. Do you remember when when that whole thing was happening, like prices of memory kits like went up by hundreds of dollars?
Dude, a 16 gig kit was like almost $200.
Yeah. So that's something to think about. Like we said, if you're building a system, or buying, NVMe drives or SSDs, like.
Or maybe you got two DIMMs in there and you've always thought you wanted two more. Like
Yeah.
probably make that grab those extra sticks right now.
Yeah. So, it's definitely something to watch. We'll obviously let you guys know as this progresses. But it's something pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There definitely to, if like I said, if you're buying stuff, you want to watch this very closely. So we'll keep you guys updated on that. And talking about buying stuff, a big rumor today, that just dropped today. We haven't been
It's
able
big.
to confirm or deny it yet, but it looks like Corsair might possibly buy Origin PC.
It's a
Origin,
big deal.
if you don't know, they're pretty decently known. I wouldn't say they're as known as, say, like CyberPower or iBuyPower, but.
Dude, I think Origin's the first one I ever heard of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think because Origin was a big advertiser in like PC Gamer.
Okay.
So I don't know if anybody else came from that sort of background, but yeah. They're definitely I think are not the size, but they're pretty prevalent in like having their name out there.
Yeah, they do some really awesome builds too. But they're a custom PC builder, so you pick your parts on their website and they build you a custom system, and they've been doing that for 30 years. They just celebrated their 30-year anniversary, but it looks like Corsair might acquire them. Corsair has been acquiring different companies over the past couple years. Last year they acquired Elgato, which makes the Stream Deck and kind of brought, because Corsair is a very gaming focused company. Kind of brought that into their envelope, and this kind of makes sense. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
NZXT, the NZXT had their motherboard, and now they offer their build service, which is essentially a custom shop. You know what I mean? You pick your parts, and they ship you a fully built PC. It makes sense for Corsair to do it, I think. Corsair is big enough that they can do it too. And Corsair pretty much makes everything except for the motherboard, CPU, and GPU. So they literally make everything else. And now that they announced their custom water cooling stuff, you can get a custom water cooled build pre-built for you with all Corsair everything. So it's a win-win for them, I think.
Makes sense. The only thing, I mean, it probably won't be a problem because, I mean, the business wouldn't do good if they just converted it all to Corsair only parts. That would be weird. But you would think they would just maintain it kind of how it is, but have that access to them for their own builds as well.
Yeah, I think that if this is something that's happening, I think that, yeah, I don't think they would fully go to all Corsair parts, but I think that you would get a hefty discount, or they would be, everything would, like, the default thing would be a Corsair part, you would think, right? But yeah, like I said, I think it makes sense. I think as these companies grow to encompass everything PC, because remember, Corsair used to just be a memory company.
Yeah, for sure.
And now they make some of the best of everything. I think it's be awesome. And seeing what I would like to see, if this all goes through, like what their vision for that company is too, to see kind of how it goes. Because I think
Definitely.
NZXT's build service is actually quite good. And they like tell you what FPS you're gonna get in games, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So
Great.
we'll keep you updated on this. This literally dropped this morning. So we'll see if it's actually true, and if it does go through, you're obviously gonna, hear about it. So we'll let you guys know on that one. And our last piece of news comes from Microsoft. And you might not even think about Microsoft as a digital distribution platform for games, because we all know Steam. Of course, we've talked about the Epic Game Store for the past whenever since its launch. And of course, we have, Uplay and Origin. But if you want to buy like a Gears of War game, you got to do it through, we both have done it,
Unfortunately, yeah.
through the Microsoft Store. But just like Epic Games Store, just like most of the other launchers or distribution platforms, it's just not done well. It's just not. And one of the biggest things, especially for a lot of games, is being able to install mods. Steam makes it incredibly easy to install mods. GTA 5 is one of the biggest games that's modded. So is BioShock, and like a lot of these games, like the mods are the big thing for a lot of people. That just it extends the life of the game that you have too, because you can add more stuff to it, make it look cool, do different things. But previously,
make it modern.
Yeah, make it modern. You can do a lot of cool stuff. Previously, with Windows games bought on the Microsoft Store, you couldn't do any of that. Well, it looks like it's being added now. A folder under Program Files, Modifiable Windows Apps, has been added in the latest Windows update, and it's specifically made just for this. Now, Microsoft hasn't put out a list of games that are supported for modding or anything like that, but it looks like it's going to be possible, which is. While this isn't like something crazy, it's a step in the right direction if you have a digital distribution platform for gaming, because this is what people want for a lot, especially like Grand Theft Auto, especially like people want mods. So it's like it's a plus. It's good that they're adding it in. I think that once it's like full, I don't even know if it fully works or anything like that. But I think once it is fully rolled out, I think Microsoft might make a bigger announcement about it, because this was found. This wasn't really announced. So
like a lot of leaks and stuff we get.
Yeah. So, but like I said, step in the right direction. If you want to mod one of those games that are on the Microsoft Store, you eventually will be able to, which is a plus. So.
Yeah. Certainly great to see that. Just the store just is so terrible.
Yes.
That. Like, fix that too, please.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine, I guess if you want to play those games, you have to use it. So.
Yeah.
But it's hard to imagine, choosing to spend more time in that store than you have to, or using it in any way.
It's just not good. There's a lot of issues with it.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's crazy is, was it Gears 4 was, the first game to use, I forget what NVIDIA technology, so, I wanted it to play it. And I had a, and that was the only place to get it.
Yep.
And it was
a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. So we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. I'll be taking a look at two products. One is a mouse that I'm actually using right now. It is the Corsair Glaive RGB Pro. It's obviously a gaming mouse. It uses the PixArts, I think it's the 3391, which is a custom design sensor that Corsair developed with PixArt. It's in almost all of their new gaming mice. This mouse is really cool because it has three separate kind of thumb pieces that you can swap out. So depending on the game you're playing, your play style, however you want, you can swap those out for whatever better feel that you want, which is nice. This obviously has RGB lighting, works with Corsair IQ, so I'll be taking a look at that. And then I'll also be taking a look at the iStorage Disk Assure DT2 external hard drive. So we took a look at their portable hard drive a little while ago, and this is the one that's just meant to sit on your desk. Basically, it's one of the world's most secure hard drives. You use a pin pad to access it. It has all these different types of encryptions. It's AES, XTS, 256-bit hardware encryption. Plus, the drive itself is physically impossible to remove from the enclosure. They sprayed this—I don't know what you want to call it—like this foam that hardens around the drive, so you can't even pull the drive out. And the pins for the drive are soldered too. So it's not like a normal hard drive in there that you can pull out and get the data. There's all this different stuff. And we'll obviously go into all of that on our review.
Nice.
But yeah, so if you're looking for a really secure drive, this is, one of the ones you're going to want to look at. So I will have that for you next week. And, that brings us to, the end here, where we talk about if we did anything cool or, did anything tech related? Do you have anything that you did or worked on?
I've been pretty busy. I've gotten the stuff I talked about from Prime Day, but I actually haven't even I don't even have the monitor hooked up. I set it up last night finally.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm got my NAS going. Not sure exactly how I'm gonna continue to use that, but it seems to work good.
Nice.
And other than that, no, not really. I finished watching. Oh gosh, Stranger Things 3. Okay. And it got much better than it started. So
okay, yeah, because everybody on social media said it started slow. So
yeah, it got really good though.
Nice. I don't know if I'll have time to watch that, but because I think I'm still on season one, I believe. So
oh wow,
got a lot of time to do that. I for anybody who uses Instagram, I forget who was using it. One of these big brands was using this thing, like, you know, on Instagram, there's a link in your profile, right? Mm-hmm. And you can only have one link in your profile. But, you know, with Think Computers, like, pretty much every other day we're posting a picture or a review and we're like, check out the link in our profile to check out that review. Mm-hmm. But every day it changes. And, like, what if you want somebody to, you know, what if somebody's checking a day later and it says, follow the link in your profile, but it's to a different review. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
I found this. It's a free solution. It's called many.link, and it allows you to have like a, it's basically like a mobile web page that has all of your content on it. You can put as much stuff on there as you want. It's super easy to use. It's free.
And then you just link to that.
Yeah, you just link to, so ours is like many.link. I think it's /thinkcomputers. And it just works. So, like, if you are a business, or even if you just want your, like, for me personally, I put, like, my blog, maybe my YouTube page, like, stuff like that, you can just put on there. Super easy to do. You can check it out on our Instagram page. That's what I'm using now, so.
And that shouldn't be an app that pisses Instagram off, so. Should be good, because it doesn't actually change anything within the app. So
yeah,
do it. Any auto post it or anything, you're just linking to your links is all.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's just like a little mobile website basically, that people can go to through the link that's on your profile page on Instagram. So yeah, that is that's it, guys. We will have our full show notes page that of course covers everything that we talked about. So you can go ahead and click through. And everything like that. And of course, it's just Think Computers, all one word, in your favorite podcasting app, website, whatever it may be. So until next week, catch you guys later.